just biomass, vegetation of any kind can be made into this and turned into. Probably line up black smoke for 6 months.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'd like to make one further point, and this is, I'm sure, a boring point to everyone. It's even boring to me to some extent, but the point that we do like to make is that we're concerned about use of the highways. Even if a vehicle ran on water, Mr. Chairman, we would like to see the use of the highways in some sense taxed. And our concern is not so much whether a particular fuel is more or less efficient in a BTU sense, but really it relates to the cost and use of the highways.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I think the, see any problems?
Move it out, sure.
No, I think we can go ahead and act on it. Terry, do you have
something? I suspect the alternative fuels that they could, they would buy a gas meter, we won't give a bus loan, which would material of any kind. And they have been taxing the natural gas without this bond, so we're under gas meter.
Okay.
Senator Trope.
Chairman, I move Senate Bill 48 to the floor with the due pass recommendation as amended.
Okay, Senator Trope moves Senate Bill 48 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there further discussion? Being none, the clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
Whatever.
I'm sorry.
Aye.
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 Senator
Trump. Aye. Aye. Motion's adopted.
Then I can keep it moving. All right.
No, you just earned the right to carry the bill.
I'll pay attention, teacher.
Is there someone who would like to carry it?
Senator knows the bill so well.
Well, I wouldn't mind carrying
okay.
it.
That's fine. I'm not
excited about it, but
yeah.
I'd be happy to.
I just, if anybody feels lonely and that they're not getting to talk enough on the floor, they can have any bill. We'll have some later that you won't have options on, but for now you get options. When we get to the big tax increases, Monroe and McFarland being the two new members, you can just split the millions in half and say you're doing what the governor told you to do. Okay.
Move to Alaska before we're shot.
Senator Monroe will carry Senate Bill 48. Senate Bill 65, which will become known as the committee's friend for the safety bill.
Right.
I don't think we had a sign-up sheet. We have had, since our last encounter with this bill, some concern from the lending institutions who are affected by the legislation and the amendments proposed, giving the department some access to information about the status of accounts. And as I understand it, the banks have been working with the department in looking at this issue. And we have with us Mr. Sherman, who is an attorney for some of the banks, or for an association, and some people from the department, I think, have been working on it. So why don't you, who from the department's been working on this? Anybody in particular?
You.
Okay, why don't you just come up with Mr. Sherman, and while they're coming, again, Terry, what were the specific issues?
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. This,
is there another
being,
staff member?
Not being my bill, this is Ron.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and give us your name and serial number for the record.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Homer Kennedy, Administrator of the Collection Division of the Department of Revenue.
Ira Jones.
I'm Ira Jones, Assistant Attorney General representing the Department of Revenue.
I'm
Ken Sherman. I'm general counsel for the Oregon Bankers Association.
Okay, Ken, perhaps on the issue of confidentiality, which is involved in Senate Bill 65, or it's the amendments, isn't it, Homer?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Why don't you try to give us, at least from your association's vantage point, what the issue is? But I think the major thing here is for the committee to identify what's at stake, what are the issues, and then we'll make some decisions.
Mr. Chairman, I've prepared some testimony, and if you'd like to go through it at this time.
Sure. And just to preface Mr. Sherman's remarks, remember that the department's testimony was that this would assist them in speeding up collections processes. Wasn't that what it was, Homer?
Yes, sir.
That now you have to go through a very lengthy process to end up at the same place that perhaps you could end up very quickly. Now, the banks want to tell us what that speed up might do to their side of the picture. Go ahead.
All right. Thank you. Frank Browner is in another meeting today. He would normally be here before you, but he asked me to come down in his place and express our concerns about this amendment that has been suggested to Senate Bill 65. The first job that was assigned to me 4 years ago when I became general counsel for the Oregon Bankers Association was to draft a piece of legislation that we kind of informally tagged as the Bank Record Privacy Act. And that now appears in the code at ORS 192.550 through 595. There was at that time serious concern not only here in Oregon but across the country regarding the ease with which the agencies of local, state, and national government could gain access to bank records of private citizens. In 1976, the United States Supreme Court decided the case of U.S. versus Miller, holding that under the law existing at that time, the bank customer had no right of privacy as to the records maintained by his bank, and thus no right to be notified or to protest if an agency of the government attempted to reach those records. The Miller case raised a great deal of concern, first in Congress and then at the state level. The first formal action that was taken was the passage by Congress in 1976 of Sections 7609 and 7610 of the Internal Revenue Code. These sections generally prohibit the IRS from getting bank records or information under subpoena without first giving the customer notice and a 14-day period in which to file a protest. In 1978, Congress placed similar limitations on all agencies, with some minor exceptions, all agencies of the federal government by passage of the Right to Financial Privacy Act. Again, the cornerstone is notice to the customer and a right to challenge unwarranted requests for information. At the state level, in 1977, Oregon became the eighth state to adopt a Financial Privacy Act. Now about half the states have such legislation, and the number seems to continue to grow. Both bank records have been at the center, so to speak, of this controversy over privacy simply because in this modern age they are capable of providing a vast amount of information about the personal affairs of individual bank customers. For this reason, bank records can be of immense value to law enforcement officials and other agencies in the discharge of the duties given to them under the law. For the same reason, bank records can be a very attractive source of information for those who are engaging in fishing expeditions, witch hunts, and other activities which are not condoned by the law. Thus, the various privacy acts have sought not to cut off all governmental access to financial records, but rather to create statutory procedures and limitations under which they may be disclosed. Our own act, which served as one of the models for the federal legislation, which was passed in 1978, generally permits disclosure under three circumstances, where the customer consents, pursuant to a summons or subpoena, or under a search warrant. We believe that this legislation has worked well during the past 4 years, balancing the legitimate interests of the bank customer who desires and expects that his records will be held in reasonable privacy, and the interests of public agencies which from time to time have a bona fide need for access to those records. The amendment to this act now proposed by the Department of Revenue would, in our opinion, destroy the balance that was achieved 4 years ago and substantially destroy the protections that were erected for the benefit of bank customers. As we understand it, what the department would like to be able to do is to call or write to the bank on an informal basis and without any notice whatsoever to the customer and find out whether a taxpayer has an account, how much is in it, and perhaps other information as well. We believe that such an amendment to the Privacy Act would be inappropriate for several reasons. First, there would be no safeguards to ensure that the department employee was collecting the information for the intended purpose. Government agencies have been known to abuse authority in the past. In fact, that's one of the important reasons why the financial privacy laws here and elsewhere were passed in the first place. The language of this proposed amendment would give the revenue agents carte blanche access to financial information with no assurance to the bank or to its customer that the agency was not seeking the information for purposes totally unrelated to the collection of a liquidated tax indebtedness. For example, what language in this amendment would prevent the agent from calling the bank and seeking the information at the request of some other agency, which itself was engaged in a fishing expedition? We don't think that the amendment contains any protection against that kind of potential abuse. A second and closely related problem relates to the dilemma that the banker would face when it gets this phone call from the department. The amendment says that the bank would be permitted to make disclosures, quote, as necessary to verify assets subject to tax liens, close quotes. How is the banker supposed to know what kinds of information are necessary to verify assets? What are the limits of the disclosure activity? What do we mean by necessary? What assets are we talking about? Are we talking only about assets that happen to be in the bank's hands? Or are we talking about assets that might be disclosed from documents in the bank's hands, such as a financial statement, that might disclose all sorts of assets that the bank has no control over at all? Keep in mind the fact that the records in the bank file, such as loan applications and financial statements and other documents, frequently contain a very vast array of private information that the customer expects the banker to hold in confidence. Again, how much of this information can the banker lawfully disclose under this very vague amendment? What kind of a position is the banker going to be in under this language to resist the department's pressure for the disclosure of information that is clearly not related to the seizure of the taxpayer's deposit? We've got to keep in mind here that if we authorize this, when the phone rings, it's going to be the Department of Revenue on the other end of the line, and the bank is going to be in a very difficult position, we think, to say no to the Department of Revenue, a department that's very important in state government, that it has a continuing relationship with, and that it doesn't really want to get angry at it. In that context, we think that the bank employee is not going to be in a very good position to argue with the revenue agent over what happens to be necessary in this particular case, necessary information to be disclosed. A third question which needs to be addressed is whether it is appropriate to elevate the Department of Revenue to a level of super creditor. Under the present law, when the department is seeking to collect delinquent taxes, it's pretty much in the same position as any other creditor trying to collect on a judgment. If voluntary payment of the debt isn't forthcoming, the creditor must go through steps of finding and executing upon the debtor's property to satisfy the claim. Private creditors do this by the processes of attachment and execution and garnishment. The department uses a warrant under 317.430. Service of the warrant on the bank requires the bank to turn over all the taxpayers' funds up to the amount of the delinquency. And we have no problem with that. A problem that creditors have in this process, though, just generally, is finding where the debtor has assets. If this amendment passes, the department will be able to solve this problem simply by calling all of the financial institutions in the area of residence of the debtor and asking them whether the debtor has an account at that particular institution. Now, at first blush, that might appear to be a perfectly reasonable proposal. But how can we justify a distinction between the Department of Revenue and any other creditor of this debtor who happens to be a customer of this bank? And on the other hand, if we allow every creditor to have access to this kind of information simply by picking up the phone, then what have we done to the privacy law? And how comfortable are we with the concept of there being no privacy or confidentiality with regard to the relationship between the bank and the bank's customer? In this connection, we think it's important to remember that the Department of Revenue will often have, in the typical case, even under the present law, more information available to it than will be available to the general creditor. For instance, if the taxpayer has filed previous returns, the department will usually be able to determine from those returns where the taxpayer does his banking. The general creditor, of course, doesn't have access to that kind of information, and we have no quarrel with that, but it's important for you to remember that fact in considering this amendment and the need for it. In summary, we believe that this amendment to the Privacy Act is not needed by the department, that its passage would generate a very serious potential for abuse, that financial institutions will be placed in an extremely difficult position in trying to determine just what information could be lawfully disclosed. We also think that if this request for a special right of access were granted, it will only be the first in a long line of such proposals at the hands of the Department of Employment, SAFE, the Department of Labor, the county tax collector, and virtually every other governmental agency that might have occasion to try and collect a debt from a bank customer. The cumulative effect of such amendments would, of course, be the demise of financial privacy, and we don't think that ought to be the policy of the state. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Senator Hammond?
Chairman, I take it that the Federal Act related only to the activities of federal agencies in making this inquiry, and that it was not a broad protection of privacy.
That's correct. The federal legislation passed in 1978 relates only to the activities of federal agencies of the government, or agencies of the federal government.
But the State Act did provide this broad public privacy.
As to disclosures to state and local governmental agencies, yes.
Did it place any reason? All right, both acts then relate only to inquiries by federal and state agencies.
Yes, that's correct.
Are you already protected, or do you need any from inquiries by other people? Just make a policy on that, I suppose.
There are two or three things that we think are the reasons why neither the state nor the federal government have moved in the area of setting up statutory limitations on disclosures to private persons. The first area would be federal legislation already on the books, primarily the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which is part of the Consumer Credit Protection Act, and that places limitations on the circumstances under which financial institutions and other creditors may disclose information to anyone. Probably the more important constraining influence there is a series of cases that have been decided over the last 20 years around the country that have routinely and uniformly held that banks do owe a duty of confidence to their customers, and that disclosures should take place to outside third parties only based upon a provision of a statute or upon the customer's consent. And as a matter of fact, I brought with me copies of an excerpt of an article that I wrote for the Practicing Law Institute about 2 or 3 years ago about those cases, and I'd be happy to share those with you. Basically, there is a fairly strong framework of cases, as I've said, around the country that have established this the limits under which private disclosures may be made.
So if a collection agency, for example, called you, you have no problem there saying, no, this is private information?
Depends on the circumstances. Calls by collection agencies, under the Federal Act, it's going to depend on what use they're going to make of the information. If they're acquiring the information in the process of compiling what we call a credit report, then under the guidelines of that Federal Act, the information can be given out. The general rule of these cases that are being handed out to you is that for other purposes, just for information purposes, if anyone calls the bank, the advice that we've given the bank is that they should first get the customer's consent, and that the information will be released to them only under that circumstance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, then, but your point is that at the current time, the law treats the state agencies the same as it does a private agency?
No. The point is that at the current time, the law treats the state agency basically the same way that the corresponding federal act treats a federal agency, including the Internal Revenue Service. basically the Internal Revenue Service is subject to a different law. It's subject to the Internal Revenue Code, and the amendments that deal with privacy for that agency were passed 2 years earlier, but basically the rules are the same.
I must have misunderstood. At one point in your testimony, I thought you had said that they were.
Oh, okay. What I was referring to, Senator, was the fact that under the present law, a private creditor and the Department of Revenue as a creditor will have to go through essentially the same steps in order to collect a debt from a bank. They will have to first find out where the debtor banks, and then they issue, in the case of the Department of Revenue, a warrant. That warrant is served on the bank, and the bank responds by returning the funds. And we have no quarrel with that process.
Private, same as a state agency at that point?
Yes, a state agency would use, or excuse me, a private person would use a writ of garnishment or a notice of garnishment on a writ of execution, but basically the process is the same.
Yeah. If a bank received a call from a private collection agency and said, does so-and-so have an account at your bank, would you just tell them at that point?
Yes, that would be our, no. Would we tell them what?
If they simply called and said, is John Doe Bank at your bank at this branch, would you tell them?
Generally, our advice has been uniformly no, that they should not disclose any information, including location of account or whether they have an account, without customer authorization. Now, the actual practice of banks across the state, of course, is not uniform. And I represent only the association. You can find, I'm sure, lawyers who will give different advice to their clients with respect to that. But I think there is a growing awareness across the state, particularly in the last 4 years since this legislation passed, of this duty of privacy to the customer.
Well, I appreciate that privacy. The point being, it seems to me the issue is coming down to this. The state agency in this case feels a frustration in that not only are they barred from getting any financial information, they are barred from even calling. As I read the law, it's no state or local agency shall request or receive. So it's illegal for them to even call you up.
Unless they follow the procedure.
Yes, unless they go through the procedure that would lead to a garnishment or something. Mm-hmm.
But they don't need to go through those procedures. And my understanding of the general operation of this thing would be that rather than going through these rather elaborate procedures, a summons or subpoena or search warrant, simply to find out if John Doe has an account at such and such bank, what they'll do and what a general creditor would do would simply have that warrant served on all the financial institutions in that area. That's the same thing that a creditor would do. That's the same thing that you would do if you had a judgment. You'd have that garnishment served on the institutions, and usually you'll collect based on that. The advantage that the department now has is that because they have amassed records on this taxpayer from the past, they're probably going to have a pretty good idea of where he's banking. And so they're going to be able to narrow down to a great extent the amount of searching that they have to do in most cases.
Okay. Homer, do you want to, or Ira, want to talk about, the reasons as you see the need for the amendment in relationship to this testimony?
Mr. Chairman, this is
Senator Hanlon.
Could somebody tell me where in Senate Bill 65 they are asking?
It's this amendment that has a Section 7 on the top of the page.
All right.
And you see up above here, A, B, and C, says that no state agency will request information. And down here, under subsection 2, nothing in this ORS prohibits any of the following. And down here, they're asking for an amendment to be able to enforce these liens by going to those records.
All right.
Or having access. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I could just say simply that we have such a large volume of delinquent tax accounts that, notwithstanding what Mr. Sherman has said, we're not able in a lot of these cases to narrow down where the taxpayer's bank account is. And the only way that we have now of doing it legally is by serving these garnishments and requiring the banks to give us a reply to the garnishments, and that takes a lot of paperwork and a lot of employee time, and that's really what we're trying to resolve. We'd like to be able to do this by telephone.
But don't you, do you concur with the statement that that any other creditor basically has to go through the same process?
As far as I know, Mr. Chairman, yes.
The, at least on my part, it does concern me that the that we would, and I can appreciate where you're coming from, and it appears that we protect the crook, and I feel for you, and I sympathize in that area. But again, that giving the state the authority to move in on a credit case, when in fact other creditors can't, and moving them up front, I'm not sure that the that at least on the floor of the Senate that would be accepted with open arms. Senator McFarland?
Yes. Whoever would like to address this, what would keep a person from calling up on the telephone and saying this is the IRS when indeed they were not? Or the state agency or whatever? Do you have any mechanism by which you have...
It could... There is a way that their identity could be verified, and that is by... The bank could do this by just simply saying, let me have your phone number and I'll call you back. And then they can...
Or you can say this is deep throat and that'd be the code word. Get right through.
It appears to me that this would be open to a great deal of chicanery, both from the state and from people pretending to be the state.
Just one other thing I'd like to point out, Mr. Chairman, and that is that... as far as the use of the information after the information is obtained by our revenue agents, we have very strict secrecy provisions, and that information is not used and is prohibited by law to be used for any purpose other than the administration of the income tax law. So,
okay. Homer, there's then the other point that I think Mr. Sherman made extremely well was, if we do this for the Department of Revenue, why shouldn't we do it for other agencies of state government?
I can't speak to that either, okay. Mr. Chairman. That is a
it seems to me to be a logical next step if, in fact, we say Department of Revenue can do it, then why shouldn't other agencies?
I guess, Mr. Chairman, the best argument that I can make is that this would speed up our collection process and give us faster access to information as to whether or not a delinquent taxpayer has an account at a certain bank and whether or not we should go ahead with the garnishment process. That's really what we're trying to accomplish, and that's about the only argument that we can make.
Okay. Senator Drinstead, did you have something?
I guess this is just from my own information. When you're going through these processes, and all of a sudden you got to put them out carte blanche, and maybe there's five banks in town, and for goodness sakes, don't anybody get the idea I'm doing this. I'm not. But I had, let's say, five separate bank accounts in five different banks, each one with one of my children. How would the decision be made which one you'd use to get the money you sent?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Jernstadt, we would if you were the delinquent taxpayer, we'd pick the account that was in your name. And if you had five in your name, it would be just a matter of individual judgment as to which account. If we knew where your accounts were and how much money was in each account, we'd obviously pick the one that had the enough money to cover our delinquent tax.
Right. Would this be true if I had them in conjunction with each one of my children, or my wife, or a brother, or something like that? If I had it in conjunction with, let's say, my oldest boy, which I don't have, could you come at my account?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Jern said, as I understand, I believe we can.
Yes, sir.
As long as it's in your name, I believe.
It kind of brings up an interesting point, which one of the kids would lose. Like that.
If you were the delinquent taxpayer, you'd also be on the front page of the newspaper.
Care there
to do with the bill. I just got
Senator Trill.
Do you ever, when you have a delinquent account, ask the person for permission
to garnish
the bank? Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
No, sir, we don't. Garnishment action, Senator Troy, is a last resort action. We contact the taxpayer in every case if we can, and make both a written and a verbal request that they pay it, and if they don't pay it, then we start looking for assets that we can levy on, and a bank account obviously is one that we're looking for.
How often do you have to do this?
Quite often, Senator Troy. We do it many times daily.
Hundreds during the year, then, probably?
Yes, sir. Hundreds during the year.
Not really.
Okay.
Senator Trump. How do you do it now if you don't have permission to do it?
Well, it is moving. It is long.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Trump, we try to obtain the information from the bank and then from our own records, and if we're not able to locate the bank account by making requests for the information, then we make a judgment decision as to where we think the taxpayer's bank account might be located, and we issue garnishments, and the banks then respond to the garnishments. They have 5 days to respond to our garnishments.
There is a modus operandi now. It would just be better if you had this.
It would be better and less costly if we had this, and faster. Yes, sir.
Well, and I understand where you're coming from. I'm just persuaded at this point that the good is somewhat outweighed by the evidence of and the good of confidentiality in this case. Unless I can be persuaded that there is a that it would in fact undo a knot that's so tight that you can't get through it any other way.